sensing from God that there's at least one person, maybe more, that actually struggles to worship at home. And you've said you don't know what to say. That's what the battle has been, the struggle. And you've said, I don't know how to sing. And you try, but it feels so awkward, so you kind of just stop. The Lord just wanted to encourage you tonight that it can just be one word or one sentence over and over again until you get the hang of it. He's been trying to get you to do this for a long time, and you know it. And you don't even have to sing it initially. I think there's something about singing, but worship doesn't have to be singing. And you can just say something simple like, I love you, Lord. And if you say it 100 times, 1,000 times, it doesn't matter. As long as you mean it with all your heart. But the Lord wants you to start, because He's been trying to get you to do this so that He can move you forward in worship. Not in this corporate setting, but at home. So you could just say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. You can say, I worship you over and over again. It doesn't matter. As long as it's from your heart. Well, it's like the Lord is saying, when you start it and you do it, more will open up to you in the area of worship. But you can't get to the more until you start. Lord, we take that to heart tonight. We take that to heart, Lord. We long to worship you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. And even seasoned worshipers, the Lord says, you can go back to the basics too. To begin to worship at home again like never before.
One of the things that has just really been on my heart lately has to do with just enduring. And this really isn't my message, this is like precursor to the message, but there's a prophecy that came out in October of 2019. And it's called Endure in the Fight, and I'm sure you've read it, but I just really sense like God wanted me to read it again. And I'm sorry that I'm not speaking super loud. I find after an entire day of singing, it's a little bit rough here. So turn off your hearing aids, and you're just going to have to hear better, in Jesus' name. Okay, but there's an endurance that is needed in this walk, and as I was just pondering those things, I was reminded of this prophecy, so I'm just going to read it. It says, many of your hearts are turned aside fighting the battle, some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. For the drain and the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say to you, lift yourself up, shake yourself, and let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk at today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts, that it goes beyond a determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my spirit to cause you to begin to continue day and night to pray the mysteries, to walk in my spirit, and to pray in my spirit. Leave the parking lot today praying in the spirit. Fellowship at times all through the day with me and others. Intermittent praying. Find yourself praying in the Spirit, because it is my desire to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. And I guess what's really important is there's a lot of people who feel right now like they're in a fight. Okay, and this is the real key that God was really just bringing home to me. Is He says, I have asked you to endure in the fight. I've asked you to endure in the fight, but I've not asked you to endure the things that have come that bring the fight. I've not asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as to let them rule over you or lord over you. But I have asked you to endure a fight against them, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, says the Spirit of Grace. While you are worshiping me and giving yourself over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I am building you up on your most holy faith. I am preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray, with such a force against your emotions that it is hard to stand. Let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you. Let me once again get over to you how much I love you as my sons and my daughters. In my strength and my affirmation of my love to you, there's a great strength, says the Spirit of grace. Give yourself over to this place. The more that you do it, the more that you will come up, the more you will stand. When you forget for a day or a season, go right back in. I will continue to be there to remind you. You are not lost. You are mine. I know where you are at. And just to encourage us today that when you feel like you're in a battle, and you are, people are, I already know they are. I already know that you're feeling the weight of it. And he says, pick yourself up. How do you pick yourself up when you're in a battle? Some people, you know, there's the flight or fight response. I'm a fighter. But there are flighters. Do you know both out of balance can be wrong in terms of I can fight even when God's saying stop. And flighters sometimes are supposed to run, but sometimes they're not. And so the whole point is to get into the presence of the Lord so that he can, again, infuse in you, as it said, that strength so that you can pick yourself up and keep going. You can keep walking the walk. Don't forget you're in a battle. You know, like there's a lot of discouragement that's trying to come in, a lot of emotions that are trying to take over. That's because you're in a battle. And you're like, well, I don't feel like the battle. Well, too bad. Until you go home, you're in a battle. That's it. We're in this world. And because we're in this world, we're in a battle. So you got to pick yourself up and, you know, keep going. Push yourself through. The next thing that, there's actually so many things, but anyways, the next thing that I wanted to talk about, just that God was having on my heart, was that oftentimes we wonder and we say, well, you know, when am I going to step out? When's revival going to happen? When am I going to start ministering to people? When am I going to start, you know, when am I going to see, you know, what God says in his word? We talk about that. We talk like that. And this is something that the Lord showed me recently. So I was ministering to this girl. Well, she's a woman, but she's a girl to me. And I was ministering to her, and she grew up in a denomination that does not believe in tongues or baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I was there with her, the Lord just, you know, ministered to me that it was her day kind of thing, and, you know, she was open. And so I prayed with her, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, okay? What happened that day, though, was the presence of God was so powerful that she was, like, shaking. Like, not like a lot, like crazy, but just she had never experienced the presence of God like that before. And I could tell it was freaking her out a bit, because when you're from a denomination that believes that Holy Spirit died a long time ago, you don't know what to do when suddenly he's moving upon you. It's just, you know, there's a lot of fear. So I've seen a lot of fear in those anti-Holy Spirit churches when the Holy Spirit starts coming. So I knew that, and I just said, give me your hand, because I knew she needed the peace of God. When she touched my hand, you could feel like the presence of God was so strong, and this peace that just came, and the tangible presence of God. And she received that day. Now, I've been talking to the Lord about, like I had been talking, this was a few weeks ago, so I was talking to the Lord about it. And I was like, God, I want to see this more often. You know, like we need to all be doing this stuff more often. Like, do we have the answer or not? And God, this is what he said to me, that this is the time, now is the time. The time now is that when you step out, he's going to meet you there. You're not necessarily going to feel ready on this side of it. You are ready. You have deposited things in your spirit, and you have spent time with the Holy Ghost for years now. So I'm not saying you run out and you start preaching to everyone on the street, although if God tells you to do that, do that. But what I am saying is that when you're talking with someone and you know that they need Jesus, you step out and he will meet you in that place with his presence, because it's his presence and anointing that will minister to them, not you. Yeah, there's words that you say, but as you step out, he will meet you there. Believe that today. I know it's hard, and especially hard, I don't know why, but to me, when you lived your whole life in a denomination that everything was natural, it's really hard to step out of that and do stuff that's spiritual. It just is. And it takes spiritual fortitude or discernment to start knowing what God is saying. All right. These are all encouragements so far. want you to encourage you. I want you to encourage you to do all those things. So tonight, I was spending time with the Lord. And then I was like, okay, going about my day, getting ready, and I was just talking to God like we do. And I was talking to the Lord about, you know, what do you want me to share this Sunday and da 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 and all that stuff. And what rose up in my heart was, love is an action. And I was like, okay, I know what you're saying. Like, I knew, you know how sometimes God gives you a sentence, but you know the meaning behind it? That's kind of what happened. So we're not going to go there because you know it, but what does John 14:12 say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. We know that, right? We love this verse. It's like, if you want to talk about a slogan for this camp, that could be it. We want to see the wheelchairs emptied, and we want to see St. Jude's emptied, and we want to see the lame, you know, made whole, and, you know, walking, and people raised from the dead, and we want to see the lost saved, and saved and filled with the Spirit. We want those things. And you don't stick around doing this message of mortification and growing up if you don't want those things. This is a good message, isn't it? It's a very good message. But did you know that there is more to Jesus than what he did? I'm not sure we always think of him like that. I think we put Jesus over here. He's the man of the Gospels who did everything, all these miracles. And we're kind of over here looking at that and like, oh, I would just love if I could do all that, God. I would just love if I could do these miracles and do the same works that you did. One of the earliest things I remember my dad saying when I was a kid, he got born again radically, and he came out of the Catholic denomination, which did not, at least his growing up, didn't know about what it meant to be born again, to really know God personally. So when God got a hold of his life after many years of being in the world, he would talk about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And everywhere we'd go, when he'd talk to people, he'd say, do you want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And it's like I know that he didn't coin that term, but that was his, it was like that's what hit him, was I grew up in church, I was an altar boy, I did all the right things, and I didn't know God. And he'd be like, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And everywhere we go, from the time I was little, he would talk to people like that. And it was just very, like, real, like Jesus was so real. And people almost puts them aback, like, how do I answer this? Well, no, I don't. Okay, well, you need this, you know? So from the time I was little, I would hear my dad say this. It was very personal. It was a personal relationship. And it made sense to me because that's who Jesus was to me, too. Jesus was very personal. But if we take the personal part out of relationship, then what are we left with? Like, what are we living for? What's it about then? Is it works? Is it a religion? Ritual? We need the personal part of the personal relationship with Jesus. Have you ever had someone in your life who only wanted to be close to you because of the things that you did for them or the authority that you held? I know if you're a leader, you have that. You've had that. What do you call someone who does that? They're a user. They're a user. That's exactly right. They're a user. Are we using Jesus? God, I want to do your works. I want to do your work. So let the dead rise again. And we're doing all the things that we think we need to do. And there's really good things. Like, this is a great verse. And listen, it's important and we have to do it. But have you taken the personal out of the relationship to get to the works? We have to get to the place where Jesus is it. Just, we love him. And do you just want to be with him? Jesus does want us to do the miracles, and he wants us to do the works that we see in the Gospels. But it must come out of personal relationship and intimacy and not apart from it. And when we do that, that's part of the reason why we're not seeing it. We're striving so much to get to all the good stuff. Oh, Lord, I want to do the works of Jesus. Oh, yeah, it's so good. And it is. It's a fantastic. Listen, we must. Like, I love this verse. I'm not disparaging this verse. What I'm saying is What is your desire coming out of? Is it coming out of this relationship of intimacy that you've got his heart and you know that's his desire and what he wants? Or is it because you want to get to the point where, okay, good, I'm doing this and I feel mature and everything is good in my life? Everything is based on the relationship with him. You know, we sing songs all the time here, don't we? I love you, Lord. I love saying I love you to the Lord. There's that one song at the end of this set where she goes, where she's like, I love you, Jesus. And it's just, it gets me because that's the simplicity of who he is and what it is all about. I just love him. But remember what God said to me? Love is an action. Love is more than words. It's really good to tell Jesus that you love him, but love acts. Love doesn't say, I love you, Jesus, and then doesn't do the things of Jesus all throughout the week. Love says, I'm going to conform my life to you because I just want to be with you. I want to imitate you. I want to just glean from you. I want to sit in your presence. So funny. We're going to turn to Luke 10 again. Same story. Same story from this morning. When you started reading that, Pastor, I was like, oh my goodness. Luke 10. I debated changing it, but I knew the Lord led me to do it, so. Luke 10. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan again. We're going to read it again. I thought, well, maybe we won't read it, but no, we're going to read it. Yeah. One thing I want to say just before we read that is in verse 21 of Luke 10, are you there? It says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Okay. Do you know when I was looking this up, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, it's talking about he was praising God. Suddenly, and it was suddenly, it's like it came upon him, he's like, I praise you, Lord, hallelujah, that you've hidden these things from the wise and shown them to the babes. He was praising God, and it was a sudden thing. And sometimes we think we can't suddenly praise God. You know, sometimes I'm at my house and I'm vacuuming or something and I'm just praising and I'm praising loud because it's over, you know, I'm vacuuming. It doesn't matter. In the moment that, you know, you're thinking about God and pondering God and suddenly it lights upon your heart and your mind that you just love him, just let it out. Just praise him. Jesus did it. That's just a side note on worship. Okay, back to the thing. Okay, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He went closer and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he answered, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now, Pastor did a fantastic message on what all that meant today. It was so good. But we're just going to focus on a little bit, a few different other things, okay? So first, the lawyer asked Jesus, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the words eternal life there, The life is Zoe, so it's God life. And eternal means forever and ever. So he's literally talking to him. He's asking him about kingdom life. Okay, what can I do to get this kingdom life? And Jesus doesn't skip a beat. He says, love. That's his answer. That's what he says in verse 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. He says, you need to love. And then he goes into the story of how to do that. Okay? The man wants to justify himself. He asks the Lord, well, who's my neighbor? So Jesus gives the man an example of love in action. Remember, love is an action. To illustrate what kingdom love is. And again, pastor, fantastic message. They hated these Samaritans. But kingdom love lets all that go. Kingdom love loves God with everything in you and loves your neighbor as yourself. But do you notice what wasn't love in this story? What wasn't love was the priest. What wasn't love was the Levite. What's very interesting is that the priest, it says, he just avoided him completely. Sometimes God wants you to do something and you know he's speaking to you, but you're avoiding his voice. Then the Levite, he gets closer. He looks and he's like, ugh, this is too much work. I don't feel like doing this. He thought about it because it says he went close to him. He says he looked on him and then he passed by the other side. I mean, there's a Jewish tradition and different things you can get into. That's not the point of what we're going to make tonight. The point of it is that they, for various reasons, they said no to love. They said no to love in action. Now, what do priests and Levites represent? A priest is one who can go beyond the veil. And a Levite is one who is a worshiper, works in the house of God, and so forth. Do you know that that's exactly what we're made to be? We are priests and kings unto God, and we are worshipers. This means that even if you have access behind the veil, even if you are a worshiper, it doesn't mean that you walk in love. Sadly, it doesn't mean necessarily that you walk in love just because you're called to be a priest and a king and a worshiper. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, we all know the love chapter. This brings home this point even more. And we're going to go back to, sorry, to Luke 10. I should have told you to keep your finger there, but we'll go back there in a little bit. Verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which is love in action, that's literally the meaning, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love in action, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love in action, it profiteth me nothing. Now, if we're going to talk about the works of Jesus, don't you think a lot of those things that are listed are part of the works of Jesus that we actually want and covet? Sure. You want to speak in tongues? We want to have the gift of prophecy, meaning you know the heart and mind of God. We want to understand mysteries. Do we not want to understand the mysteries of God? Yes. We want knowledge, godly knowledge. We want to have faith so that we can move a mountain. Who wants to have faith that doesn't move mountains? No one. Everyone wants faith that can move a mountain. It says you can bestow all your goods to the poor. So you give, you're like, you're charitable, you love to give. And he says, you can give your body to be burned, meaning you're crucified with Christ, you know, so fasting and mortification, all that. But if you have not love, none of these things profit you anything. You may be able to bless others this, but it doesn't profit you. You're not walking in the place that God actually wants you to walk because you're not doing it from a place of love and action. You can do mighty things for God, and it still not come from a place of love. And it's hard to believe that. It really is, because if you have you ever seen people? I've actually seen people like this, because my dad went, you know, he did Rhema, and so you end up around a lot of faith people. These people could do mighty things. You'd see them do it, and then they come off the stage, and they're meaner than mean. You know what I mean? The point is, you can do mighty things for God. You can have all these things in operation, but if you do not have love in action, if you don't have that God love coming forth out of you, God says right here, it means nothing. And it profits you nothing. These are big words coming from the Lord. So how do we grow in love? We all know. We have to spend time with love. And as we do, as we spend time in quietness and stillness and worshiping and prayer, His love begins to grow within us, and we get more intimate with Him. And I want to just make a little plug for just really sitting before the Lord. Because even me, I have my list every day of how much word I want to read and how much confessions I want to do and all that. But you know, and that's good and important, because you need to build. Holy Spirit needs something to build upon when He's with you, okay? This is important. But you know, my favorite time is just when you get still and I just close my eyes and I love you, Lord. And you just sit in His presence. And it's not just for me. That is the time when you get to know the person of Jesus and not just His works. That's like the point. This is not just another message on, oh, spend time with Jesus. This is start spending time with Jesus. Do it. Book it in. Read and pray, yes, but then sit with Him. Let His presence and His person change you so that you can walk in His peace. You know, we talk about, I want to do the works of Jesus, but you can't even walk in peace right now. I want to do the works of Jesus, Lord, we need revival, but then something happens and you're all over the place. Your emotions take you everywhere. Your mind's all over the place. You can't focus. That's not God's plan for us. Do you know that when you love someone, you're spending time with them, and you love them, there's really not very much you won't do for them, is there? If your spouse, husband, wife, or if you had a spouse or someone that you really loved in your life, your children even, if they needed something, what wouldn't you do for them? And I'm not talking about you'd bury bodies for them, okay? Not sin. I know people like that too. I had some uncles who were like, hey, they call my dad Mike. I'm going to bring in the bat, you know, because we didn't have guns in Canada. But anyways, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you love somebody and you'd give up your time for them and they need something and you drop stuff and you go and you help them. There's not much that you wouldn't do for someone that you love, right? When you grow in your love relationship with Jesus, suddenly, God, I'm yours. I just want to give you everything. And I'm growing in this. Like, I keep, and when I spend time with God, I cry because I'm like, God, help me to love you more. I want to love you more, Jesus. Because when you love somebody, it's not hard to do things for them. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, you know it, that He gave His only begotten Son. You know that, right? He gave. He didn't just say, I love you, and then leave you in your sin. God is the biggest love in action that there is. He gave His best, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He's the great doer of this. And Jesus, even in Romans 5:8, it says, Jesus demonstrated His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love is an action. It is not just something we sing about and something we say. Love says, God, I want to spend time with you to grow in this love so that when I do the things and the works, it's coming from that place and it's not coming from me trying to strive to get it all done. I'm going to mature, but I'm going to mature without intimacy. That doesn't work. We have to get into His face. These passages let us know that the Father didn't just say He loved us, He showed us He loves us. And God expects that we would put our money where our mouth is too. You know, it's funny because in this 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I've become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Have you guys ever just heard people playing drums and cymbals? Like, I've been around a lot of music, and most of the time I don't let it get to me because, you know, like, I've taught piano lessons and done different things, been around music, and sometimes you don't like what you're hearing, and you can usually ignore it if it's not nice. But if you just have somebody who's, like, on the cymbals over and over and over again, you know how irritating that is? It's so annoying to play those cymbals like that. It's talking about you have a lot of talk, you have a lot of outward speak, but you don't have love and action. God wants us to put our money where our mouth is, so to speak, to act on our love for Him by spending time with Him and yielding to Him every day and in every way. How many of us tell the Lord we love Him, but it's only words? And I think we all do this. So even for me, I'm like, I worship you, and then I'll be going about my day, and sometimes I'm like, I'm sensing like I need to stop what I'm doing and go spend more time. And I'm like, but I have all these things to do, Lord. John 14:15, you know this one too. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That means that there's definitely a connection between what we say and what we do. And it also means the opposite. If you don't keep His commandments ever, do you really love Him? Or at least, what level of love are you walking in with Him? He demonstrated His love for us. He's like, I'm going to give you the best of heaven. I'm going to give you my Son. He's going to die for you. Okay? He didn't just say, I love you, and then leave us. And then even after Jesus died and rose again, He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. God is love in action. And guess what? We're made in His image. So He wants us to love Him back in action, and to love our neighbor in action. That's this morning's message. The Good Samaritan message is, I'm going to get over whatever I need to get over to love you. And tonight it's, I'm going to love God in action too. I'm not going to sing songs and say things anymore. I'm not going to let it be empty words. I'm going to worship Him and love Him. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. I think you guys know where I'm going here. I was just going along with this. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. Did you hear that? When we love God, we keep His commandments. There's always action with love. I love this. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. So if you're trying to do the works without the love of God, guess what? You're not going to ever get there. You need love. You need the love, everything coming from love. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and what? His commandments are not grievous or burdensome, is another word. Meaning, He'll be able to correct us, and we won't be rebelling against Him. Because love delivered us over to obedience, not the other way around. Love delivered us over to obedience. This love walk with Christ delivers us over to obedience. It's not, I'm going to try and do everything right, try and do the works of Jesus, and then don't spend time with Him. And don't, you know, just sit in His presence. Time with God is an amazing thing, isn't it? So on the one hand, I hope you all are worshiping at home at least to some level. But if not, you know that we have been in times in corporate worship where you can just tangibly sense the presence of God in this place. And I hope you're doing that at home. So the amazing thing about the presence of God and time with God is this. On one hand, you are just so overwhelmed with His goodness and His love for you. Like, there's some moments I just weep because I'm like, how do you love me like this? Like, I'm just, my physical body doesn't know how to handle sometimes what I'm experiencing in His presence. Okay? But at the very same time, on the other hand, I'm completely aware now, in that place and in that presence, that there are things in my mind and my emotions that still don't line up, and that I know need to go. And instead of being offended, because I'm sensing His love and I'm like enraptured in His love, I'm like, yes, God, I'll give you everything. Like, help me, Lord, help me to lay it all down. So he's dealing with stuff, but because you know His love for you and that powerful presence or whatever it is that He allows us to experience, we're saying, yes, God, I'll lay down these mindsets. I'll lay down the stuff in my life. Yes, Lord, I love you. I want to do what you say. What a true son does in those moments, and when I say son, it's all of us. What a true offspring does is we yield to his chastisement and we say, Father, have your way in me, just like Jesus did. Go back to Luke 10. Luke 10, and we're going to continue from there. We're going to go to verse 38. So this is right after the story of Samaritan. It says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him to her house. Firstly, it came to pass that as they went, Jesus, right after this, he's like on his way. The Samaritan story happened while he's on his way to Mary and Martha's house. Okay? So this is going, it's the same time. I was looking into it earlier. Okay? Okay, he went to, and Martha received him into her house, in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. She's like, Jesus, Mary's slacking off. And when he said, when she says, bid him, it's like, tell her to come, like, get mad at her and get her butt over here. That's kind of what she's saying. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. You know that word careful is the word worried? You are careful and troubled and worried about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. So Jesus just finished teaching about what it means to love your neighbor, and now he was teaching about what it means to love God, which is come and sit at Jesus' feet. The subject hadn't changed yet. Love in action with your neighbor is what the Samaritan did. Love in action with God is what Mary did. Sitting at his feet, loving on him, receiving from him. And it superseded any natural act that was going on. I'm sure Martha did need help, okay? But she, Mary, went to the feet of Jesus. When you sit before the feet of Jesus, okay, it's really just talking about that place of intimacy. It's really taking time to set aside, to go somewhere where it's private and say, Lord, it's just going to be me and you. And it's learning how to shut off your mind, and even if it's just briefly, 10, 15 minute sections, start somewhere where you begin to just spend time with him and just sit with him and allow that love relationship to begin to grow. Because the truth is that if we want the fullness of God, then we must be filled with his love to the point where it exceeds all other things. Like, I want the fullness. I want to do the works of Jesus. I want everything. Well, you need the love then. If it's not from a foundation of love, you're not going to get there. That's what this is talking about. Everyone turn last verse to Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3 here, we're going to look at a passage where Paul was praying for the Ephesians, and he knew that everything was founded on love. And we're just going to read that together tonight. Starting at verse 16, Paul says that he, meaning God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that what? You'd be rooted and grounded in love. Oh, so that's the grounding, that's the rooting. There's nothing, listen to this, there is nothing that you could, if you're not grounded in love, none of the other stuff is going to happen. I want to do your works, Jesus, I want to do your works. Rooted and grounded in love. And that comes from time with him. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that what? You might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want the fullness? You want to be able to do what Jesus did? Then spend time with him and build this love relationship. That is what's going to get it done. You can't get it done, okay, all the things, oh, when am I going to get there, God? When is it going to happen? Well, just come and be with me, and I'm going to show you those things. I'm going to deal with the things in you, And I'm going to pour out my love upon you, and I'm going to grow in you to the point where you trust me when I ask you to do something. Sometimes we're like the priest or the Levite. We're either like ignoring something, or we don't feel like dealing with it. You know, it's too much work. God just wants us to be like Mary. Come and sit at his feet. Love is what brings us to the place of fullness in God. And out of that place will come the works that Jesus did. But we can't put the cart before the horse. That's the whole point. It's intimacy first, and then the rest will follow. I often talk about time with the Lord whenever I get up here. And it's because it's something that I just love the Lord, and I know it's needed, and I want to have all these great things to say, and then I always have God. I feel like God always brings me back to some form of intimacy and worship. But this is where your papers are going to come in handy. There's the little papers, not the confession sheet yet. We're going to ask three questions. We're going to ask ourselves three questions. And this is going to help us to understand, because a lot of people will be like, well, I'm trying to do this, but I don't have time, and I'm trying to do this, but I'm trying to spend more time with God, but, you know, my life is busy, and I have work, and I have all these things. And truly, we all have those things. And yet, God does not change his instruction to love him first. So, if he was going to change any instruction to go before God, he would have changed it for Jesus. Jesus was a busy man. But Jesus went and spent time with the Father. So, there has to be a way for us to do it, because God doesn't tell us to do something unless we can do it. So even with work and even with business and everything, with everything going on, these are just kind of like a self-check questions, three questions. One, if God looked at my life, so go ahead and write this down. If God looked at my life, and measured what I loved most, so if God looked at my life and measured what I love most by the things I give my time to, say that again, by the things I give my time to. So if God looked at my life and measured what I loved most by the things I give my time to, what would he say I loved the most in life? What would he say I loved the most in life? So, if God looked at my life and measured what I loved most by the things I give my time to, what would he say I loved the most in life? I want you to be really honest. If he looked at your life and was like, oh, wow. It can be God. For some people, that might be. It might be prayer and time with him. And it could be other people or things. Number two, would God say my actions prove that I am devoted mostly to myself? That I am devoted mostly to myself and my own needs and interests? Repeat that whole thing again. Would God say my actions prove that I am devoted mostly to myself and my own needs and interests? Or would he say that I am truly living for the expansion of his kingdom? Or would he say that I am truly living for the expansion of his kingdom? So would God say my actions prove that I am devoted mostly to myself and my own needs and interests? Or would he say that I am truly living for the expansion of his kingdom? On that note, again, we don't want to be like the priest and the Levite who just pass by everything. We want to be about his business. And number three, it's a shorter one. How can I adjust my life? How can I adjust my life to have more time with Jesus? how can I adjust my life to have more time with Jesus? So these are three questions that you have a whole week of no church or anything to be thinking about. Spend time with God. Ask him how you can adjust your life. Don't just listen to this message and be like, yeah, that's right, I need to spend more time with God, and then nothing changes. Because love is an action. The final thing we're going to do these confessions. These are some of my confessions I just printed out for you guys. And we're going to just say this together in closing. And so just talking about walking in obedience and love. That's really what it is. So I'll go ahead and you guys can say it with me. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen me with might by your spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in my heart by faith, that I would be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom and your peace. Thank you that you are with me and helping me to conform my mind to your complete truth. I will not be satisfied with anything less. I say that I have the mind of Christ, and I will trust in you, Lord. I will not rely on my own strength or wisdom, but will live a life fully submitted to you, my Heavenly Father. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I will praise you and keep my head up in all circumstances. I will make a joyful noise unto you, Lord. I will serve you with gladness and come before your presence with singing. I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I love you, Lord, my God, and I will obey your voice. I will cleave to you, for you are my life and the length of my days, that I might dwell in the land which you swore to give me. Father, I will show you that I love you by keeping your commandments, and your commandments will not be burdensome. I say it is a joy to obey you. I will hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I will be quick to obey. I will not despise the chastening of the Lord, because God only chastens the sons that he loves. Only I will endure your chastening. Let your word have its perfect work in me, and not walk away from you, my Father. My mouth will only speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing contrary to truth or perverse in them. I love your word, Lord, and I will line up my words to what you say. I love you, Lord, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I willingly lay down my life, sorry, my flesh, and keep the old man crucified to demonstrate that love to you. I love you, therefore I do what you say. Love is an action. Love is an action. Start loving God in action. Start being Mary. Start sitting at his feet. Make time for him. Take these questions and take them seriously. Do these confessions. You know, we want to do the works of God, but let it be out of relationship, out of that personal intimacy with him. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and stand tonight. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We bless you. And Lord, we do thank you that you are with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, we are enduring in this fight. So even now, Lord, we just pick ourselves up and we shake ourselves off and we say, yes, Lord, we're part of your army. And Lord, if there's anyone who's been weary or who's been tired, Lord, I'm asking that you would just minister to them your strength and your peace. Lord, you're the only strength that we can have, really. Our strength only takes us so far. So Lord, I'm asking that you would cause strength to just rise up in the hearts of your people right now and in our bodies and our minds and our emotions. And even those who are not here tonight, but Lord, need that. We thank you, Lord, for your promises that they are yes and amen. We thank you that we are healed. I speak healing life to every body now in the name of Jesus, who is hearing these words, healing, manifest and be in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You are a healer. Thank you, Lord. You are a healer. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the thanks for this, Lord. We thank you for what you did, Lord. And Lord, draw us now even closer to you every day, Lord, that we'd come and we'd say, Jesus, I just love you. I just want to be with you. Help me to enjoy your presence. Help me to love you. Help me to love you in action, God.
Lord, we adore you, and we praise you, and magnify you. We bless you, and we thank you. You are so worthy of our praise and all our adoration. Lord, we adore you, and we just can't get enough of you, God. So bring us into the places that you want us to be, so that out of intimacy, Lord, will come all the things that you want us to do. In this way, Jesus, we imitate you. We love the Father first. And out of that love and that relationship, you did all the other things.